Hi, I am Christy Bland. Is anybody here in the course? No? Is anybody here in the Gender Through Comics course? No, we got one. Okay. I taught a class on social issues through comic books, and that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And it was a MOOC, which is a massive open online course, which means it's open to anyone around the world, and it's free. So for the first course we did, the gender course, we had about 7,000 people. And then for the super MOOC, for the social issues, we had about 4,000 people. It kept growing because it was a longer class. It got to about 5,000 at the end. So, and everybody, they're from people all around the world. We have no red in this projector over here, so it looks much better on my screen. So a little bit about me. I have my master's degree in anthropology, and I'm working on my doctorate in education. And I have taught classes with comic books for 10 years, even before it was cool, where I had people come up to me and getting in my face from my department going, "You're crazy, you're going to bring us down, I'm going to be watching you." I'm like, okay, whatever. My students are reading, what are yours doing? And is anybody in here a teacher? So you know the feeling when you know your students aren't reading. You know, it's happened this semester, and you ask them to open their books, and they're like, that's kind of how I was feeling for a little while, so I decided to use comics. I was teaching anthropology, and I was doing a lesson on culture change, and I decided to use, I was reading at the same time Why the Last Man, which, if anybody has read that, that's culture change to the max. And I thought, this would be a really good example. Instead of using this culture across the world that they have no idea about, I'll have them read this instead. So I had them read that, and it worked. Not only did it work, the students were reading the material and understanding it, they were taking it to other classes, I know, and they would stay after class and discuss it. They would come in early so they could talk about it with each other. It was like this really great learning experience where the students were engaged and it wasn't going in here, you know, and out here. It was really making a difference. So I started doing that. For the MOOC, it's a little bit different because I can't have that one-on-one, you know, experience with all of these students. However, I've met many of my students. Even in India, when I went over there, I met several of my students. It was just, it's awesome. But the thing is, with a MOOC, you have to, you know, if you're doing an online course, you have to really bring in yourself. You have to talk about yourself and bring in personal experience and making those student connections. So with both of these classes, I was online a lot. And what I expected just a few people to be engaged, you know, like the message boards, just a few people to say, you know, oh, hi, this is me. I took some advice and we did Twitter introductions. So when you introduced yourself, you could only use 140 characters. And I was like, but I want to know about everybody. So when 1,500 people did that, I was really glad that I did the 140 character introductions. Because I was like, I'm going to read every one of them and respond. And so after about 501, I'm like, that's really great, you know. But it was great. But with a MOOC, you expect all these people to sign up and about 10% to participate and about 1% to finish. And that's not what we found. We found out that a lot of people were participating. The setup here was a little bit different, though. We got the word out. With comics, I think we are at a little bit of an advantage because, I'll get to social issues in a minute, comics are already kind of ahead of the time in interaction with media. We're very vocal. I mean, it started in the fanzines, you know. If you read the old fanzines, you have the same thing that's happening online right now with people writing in and all of this. So it was already ahead. So we had a lot of people, you know, we had Wired, and I did an article for Forbes, and then Comic Book Resources, and Bleeding Cool, and all of these different places really, you know, embrace this. So we got the word out in a lot of different ways. So about the social issues that we talked about, I talked to some friends of mine because we could only use 5 different subjects because it was kind of a 5.5-month class. We decided to give people more time. The first course I did, they only had a week to do all the material. And so many people complained and they said, I just didn't have enough time. There was so much information. So I tried a month, which I think is too long. So I'm going to go down to 2 weeks. You know, I'm trying to find this happy medium. And this is such a new field. It's all just experimentation. So what we did, I asked some friends of mine, what are the 5 most, the 10 most common social issues, the things that we need to talk about. And then I took all those and we came up with these 5. Addiction, which I think is really important. It's not just the addiction of drugs. There are many addictions that we have. The environment, social inequality, immigration, and then media, government intervention, and information privacy. So the next step was finding comic books that fit all of those different categories, which you think would be pretty easy, except you have to remember that since we're going all over the world, those of us who are lucky enough to be able to walk to a comic shop or drive to a comic shop, that doesn't happen everywhere in the United States, nor does it happen anywhere, everywhere in the world. So I had to make sure that the comics were both in print and they were available online. And surprisingly, things like George Perez's run of Wonder Woman, which is amazing, is not in print. So, a lot of things I had to not do because they just weren't available. The other thing I wanted to make sure is that we did a brief introduction to comics, included live interviews. So we interview people. So we read Buzzkill by Donnie Cates, which is a great book about addiction. Has anybody read it? Where the superhero only gets his powers when he either is drinking or doing drugs or is on some kind of stimulant. And it starts off with him in an AA meeting because he's trying to quit. So it's a really, really interesting look at all of this. But what we do is then we ask the students, what questions would you ask him? And then when we do this live interview with him, we did it on Google Hangouts, I'm asking the questions for the students. So the students are asking the questions. And, so it's like John from, Philadelphia asks, And so it really gives you that social interaction, which is one of the ways you can, not miss that face-to-face interaction. So we looked at all of these different things. We interviewed, I got to interview Denny O'Neill, which is like so awesome. There were some issues, God bless Denny. I sent out a list of instructions. This is what you need to do. And 2 minutes before the interview went live, he called up and said, now, what do I need to do? And I said, well, sign into your Gmail. And he said, oh, I don't have a Gmail account. And then I freaked out because you have to have a Gmail account to do this. So it was like we had to go through this whole process. And only we have 2 minutes. So things were, we have a few problems. But, we did some great things. We looked at the environment. We looked at we read The Master, we read Hinterkind, Social Inequality, we read Lazarus and Scalped, and X-Men and March, Immigration, American Born Chinese, and we got to talk to, it's not up there, but we talked to Jean Yang also. And then we even got to interview Warren Ellis, which was the highlight for me because he's awesome. So in addition to that, we also did interviews with people who are in the field, who are current, so that we knew exactly what was going on in academia. Because I am not an expert in any of these things. I know a lot about them, especially now, but in my gender course, I had done a lot of research on that previous, so I knew what, the points were. Here I didn't know exactly everything that's going on. So I wanted to give that academic perspective also. I don't want anybody to think I'm an expert in everything that I talk about. So we engaged people by, reading articles. We read academic articles, too. There's a lot of information on the site. We did online interviews. We had discussion questions. We had activities that we did. There were quizzes at the end of every module, which you didn't have to take, but it was just basically a self-quiz, to make sure you knew what you had learned. And I actually thought about dropping those. And when I mentioned it, the students were like, no, we want the quizzes, which surprised me a lot, because as a student, I'd be going, oh, yes, no quizzes. But they were really engaged in this. So the readings, again, I told you, sometimes we had to make sure that they were available in digital and print. X-Men God Loves, Man Kills was one of those that I didn't check to see if it was available digitally because I figured, oh, of course it is. I mean, it's a classic. I know it's in print. Of course it's available digitally. But only through the Marvel subscription process, I found out. So that turned out to be a little snag. But we just kind of said, okay, you can read this, or you can read this by Gail Simone. So, we worked. We read articles. They all had to be online also and free. Nothing was expensive except for the comics. Which, the other thing that I did is that in case you couldn't read the comic, there's sometimes when you just didn't have the money to buy it. If you can only buy two out of the four, that's fine. Because we always had summaries in the back. So, in case you couldn't get to those. Then we did the live creator interviews. These are two of the people we interviewed, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire. We discussed questions beforehand, and then we discussed the interviews afterwards, And they weren't questions. The great thing is that they weren't questions like, how did you get to comics? Or, what's your writing process like? They were questions like, how did your addiction, like to Denny O'Neill, how did your addiction affect your writing? Why do you want to write about these topics? So, they were very, very intense questions that the interviewees also enjoyed because they weren't questions that they got asked all the time, over and over. We had group discussions, and the great thing about this is that the group discussions, they just didn't stay on the Canvas site, on the education site. There were groups that formed on Facebook. There were groups that formed even on Twitter groups. They had Reddit groups. So all of these little groups were occurring. And one of the great things we also did with this course was that we added real-life groups. So we partnered with a lot of these different comic book shops all over, the United States and Canada, and actually one in Mexico, where you could go there, and once a month they would have a meeting. So people in the group that lived in that area that used that comic store, or even if they just decided to go to that comic store, they could have face-to-face meetings and talk about these issues. So that was a really interesting thing that we didn't do in the gender class. We just added to this one, which also made it very important that we have physical copies available also. So that was really interesting. And a lot of these groups are still actually going from the last gender course. So the groups just continued. We had different assignments. One of the assignments was that you had to create a comic. And we got some really great comics. This one was from the gender course we did, The Girls Don't Like Dinosaurs. And it was one of the most amazing things that I had read in a long time. It was so good. And these comics, some of them went from very personal things that happened to them. Some of them were about, experiences their friends had. Some of them were just fun. Some of them were, very real. But they all had, they all had to think about, let's take these social issues or these gender issues and, put them into, a comic form. What's important? So they're not only learning about how to create comics, but also, what are the important parts of the story. When the course was completed, which the most recent one just finished at the end of this month, they get a really great certificate. This was the art on the certificate that is from J.D. Jones. He created it just for this class. So that would inspire me to finish this class, and if you get that on your certificate, because it's so awesome. Thank you, J.D. And so these are just some of the comments that we had. It was a fantastic experience. We're building a community. One of the greatest learning experiences. Like somebody said, they felt like we were a small town, which was kind of nice. And the Facebook group for both groups is still active and going and growing. Every day I get requests to join the group because we kind of make it a closed group because we get a lot of people in there doing, wanting to sell sunglasses. So we do have that quite a lot. And that's all I have for this right now. So let's talk about some social issues. So who has read something recently that they think is a social, like brings a social issue to the front?
I think the latest issue of Hawkeye is a pretty an example with the sign, basically all in sign language. Uh-huh. And if you don't know how to sign, don't get to understand everything that's happening because it's, you know, so showing that, you know, it's another language, it's another way of communicating, and that people with disabilities, you know, can.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a really great book. It's called Everybody Here Spoke Sign Language. If you don't know it, it's an academic book, so it didn't get a whole lot of publicity, but it was about Martha's Vineyard. And when people first came over to America, it was a small group in England that came over and settled in Martha's Vineyard. And the hearing gene, the deafness gene, was very prevalent in that group. And it was a recessive trait, but there were so many people that had that trait that at one point over half the population of the island was deaf. So everybody there signed without even thinking about it. And so when you would ask somebody, they did some research on the island, and they would say, you know, oh, well, such and such, you know, tell me about this person. And they would say, oh, you know, they worked here, they did this, you know, their mom was this, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, were they deaf? And they're like, I think so. Because it just became so commonplace. So that's one of those things. And we also used Matt's Hawkeye when we talked about environment from his Hurricane Sandy issue that he did. So that's a really good one. His pizza dog issue is so good, too. Somebody else have their hand up. Yes, sir.
Right around the time, you mentioned Gail Simone, Batgirl. There was something else that played with it, too, but when she had her roommate be transgender, mm-hmm. That was, like, not the first experience I had with it, but, like, sort of everything sort of came at me with, like, there's a band that had a transgender singer, and then that issue came out, and it led me to, like, research it more and, like, get a book on it and just start reading about it and be more educated on it. So that book was, I just wanted to find out more about it, maybe more to dive into it.
That's a really good example. And we talked about that in the class also because that issue came out. We had Gail in the first class. We read her Secret Six, which is coming out again. Everybody check out her first one if you haven't read it. It's incredible. So, yeah, that's a really good. And it kind of exposed you to that as something that you may not have thought about much before.
Yeah.
So, and that's the whole thing that we're trying to do is, yes, comics are fun. I love them. I read them for entertainment. But they're also, there's this layer that we can use that if we really think about it, they're telling us a little bit more. Who else? Yes, sir.
Saga?
What's that? I haven't heard of that.
I feel like that one just has so many social issues that it's looking at. So war, pacifism, marriage, divorce, drug addiction.
Mixed family.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers going on there. Also, you know, gay characters, you know, transgender people, you know, human spider, you know, stuff like that. So
Frank K. Vaughan is my hero.
Yeah,
he's just, everything he writes is just is amazing. I can't say enough about him. Well, he's actually, this is why The Last Man changed my life, because I would have never thought about it, but that's what led me to use comics in the classroom, which led me to where I am now. So thank you, Brian. So when I interviewed him, it was like really, really awkward because I was like, hi, Brian, I really like your stuff. And everybody else was like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, Brian. And everybody was like, what has happened to you? And I'm like, thank you. I couldn't help it. It was like one of those, you know, moments. And then later I got to meet him. He signed my saga. To my favorite teacher, and I'm like, just see that? My favorite teacher, and you see that I showed everybody, and they're like, I've seen it three times already. I'm like, that's Frankie Vaughan, and he said that, you know. Yeah, I turned into my little fangirl, couldn't help it. So we have those moments. Who else? Yes, ma'am.
I recently read Street Angel. It's it features a homeless girl as a superhero, and it really drew my attention to the blindness. I think we have culturally to homeless youth.
That's awesome. Somebody approached me. I had a lot of educators approach me wanting to do different MOOCs, and homelessness was one that they talked about. So that would be a good one. I'm going to have to remember that one. Okay. Because it's one of those things that we get so used to seeing these things in our lives that we don't even see it. I just was on a panel, Sexy or Sexualized, like 2 hours ago, and I talked about one of in my face-to-face classes. We were talking about how, you know, they were saying, well, women are sexualized in comics. I'm like, yes, they are, but let's think about this in a bigger scope. Look in magazines that you read, and I want you to all bring me in an ad. Don't look too hard, just barely skim of where a woman is sexualized. And they were like, Ms. Blanchard, there were so many, I couldn't believe they're all over the place, because they were looking for them, you know, because before you just skim over it. It's so common in our culture that we don't even think about it. You know, that Hardee's, I'm still, that's my thing, the Hardee's commercials, oh, my daughter's even, Mom, we are not eating there anymore. And she was like, I'm sure those women have never, ever had a Hardee's because they're this big around. And I was like, well, let's not judge, but no, we don't have Hardee's. So it's like there, it's so in our face every single day that we don't even see it. And that's like homelessness. We see it, and it's like nothing just to walk past somebody because you see it. My daughter had never seen a homeless person. We went on vacation, and she was just all, and I was like, quit staring, you know. And she was just like, I don't understand. Why doesn't he find a place to live? And I was like, okay. So we had to talk about that for a long time because, you know, it's like you just don't, you don't see it. It's not just something on TV. It doesn't really happen. So, who else? Yes, ma'am.
While X-Men always tackles lots and lots of social issues all the time, recently, obviously, like, we've been dealing a lot with the idea of, like, sort of adoption, the adopted family with Jubilee and Shogo. Mm-hmm. And I thought, also she's a vampire, but, like, yeah, like, the idea of living with vampirism and adopting, like, a baby. Mm-hmm. So that has a lot of allegories to a lot of social
issues. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a little, and it's, just a few, and I think it's one of those things that one of the things about using comics to teach that's really great is that that's a subject that kind of like gets people a little irate and they don't want to talk about it, or if they do talk about it, it's very like this way or this way because it's real. But if we talk about it, you know, with that example, you know, in a comic book, they can say, okay, well, I think I would do this, or I think they should do this, or do this. And it ends up they're talking about the characters, and then they finally come around, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm talking about me. You know, I'm talking about a real-life situation. So it kind of lets you in the back door, and it lets you kind of, like, remove yourself from that emotional, you know, center of being too personal. So that's a really good example. Anybody else? I saw another hand up earlier. No? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about these different, here, I went too fast. So what comics and addiction have you read that talk about addiction? Yes?
Watchmen. It just seems that some of the characters really were addicted to being these vigilantes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And that's one of the addictions. There's, when we think about addiction, we think about, you know, oh, drug addiction or alcohol addiction. But, you know, what about smoking? You know, that's an addiction. I just watched something on TV. Oh, I think it was Twin Peaks. I finally get caught up. That was a Twin Peaks movie, Firewalk with Me. And they asked, you know, this waitress, do you do drugs? And she's like, oh, I don't do drugs. And she's smoking. And I was like, nicotine's a drug. And then the guy on the TV goes, nicotine's a drug. And I was like, see, he knows. So maybe I was like, okay, I like this show. So that's one of the things. You can be addicted to that power.
Yeah. It's older, but Kick-Ass, mm-hmm. where he's completely addicted to trying to set, and almost addicted to getting his butt kicked.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Obviously, it's more about Iron Man. Alcohol.
Yes, he has a few alcohol problems. And we read one of our optional books was Demon in a Bottle, mm-hmm. Because of that. And we also read, has anybody read Batman Venom? If you haven't read it, please read it because it's so good. Batman actually gets, not to give away too much, but he can't save somebody. Somebody ends up dying because he's not strong enough. So he ends up taking these pills to make him stronger. And I'm trying not to give away all of it. And he becomes addicted. And so when we think about superheroes, we think about them being, you know, past this addiction. But really, being a superhero is all kind of about addiction. So what about the environment? That one's kind of a little bit, trust me, it's harder. Anybody read Swamp Thing? Yeah, Swamp Thing's all about the environment. In fact, I think Alan Moore quit writing the book because he said he wanted to talk about the environment, but the big green guy kept getting in the way. So that's one of the things. If you haven't read his run of Swamp Thing, I would suggest going out right now downstairs and buying it because it's one of the most incredible things you will ever read.
Just the recent arc for God of Thunder, where it's future taking on Galactus, that in the present it deals all with like a dying planet, and his shield girlfriend is trying to save it from rocks and like this evil subsidiary company of oil and destroying the environment.
Yeah, that's a good example too. Sir?
Great Pacific.
Yes, we read The Massive, Great Pacific is, that's what it's all about. So tell people who haven't read it, tell them a little bit about that.
It's about basically trying to create a country out of a trash island. Everything goes wrong with that.
Has anybody read Snowpiercer? I know the movie's out now, but Snowpiercer, if you haven't heard of it, it's like 25 years old and it was French. It just got translated and published here. And humans, I did use it for the class because it came out too late, but I could have used it for two different categories here, the environment and social inequality, because what it is that the planet's environment has degraded so much that it's too cold out now for anybody to live. So they're all on this train, and the train is where every human is on this train. But the train is divided by social classes. So the most important people are up front, and then, you know, it goes back to the lower classes in the back. So when the engine starts giving out, what's the first thing that they decide what they should do? You know, well, we got rid of those cars in the back. You know, that wouldn't be such a strain on the engine. So it's all about that. It's an amazing book. I haven't seen the movie yet. I've heard it's amazing, but the graphic novel is really good. Somebody else had their hand up. Yes, no? You?
A lot of Miyazaki's films or manga deal with it, like Princess Mononoke is the battle between progress and the environment.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there's a lot out there, and this is one that I think troubled me the most, because after I was just like, oh yeah, well, Swamp Thing. And I was like, okay, what else? So, but The Mask was great. Hitter Kind, it's really, really interesting to where humans are no longer the top of the food chain. They're now at the bottom of the food chain. So that's an interesting look at that also. What about social inequality? You mentioned the X-Men. That's a huge one. I could have just put, let's just talk about X-Men.
Definitely Lazarus.
Lazarus.
The caste system.
Yeah, Lazarus is all about the caste system, which was great. Greg's interview. And also, all of these interviews that we did are available on YouTube for anybody to watch. And Greg's is one of the ones that I would suggest watching, because for people who, they're like, well, maybe I'll read it, maybe I won't. By the end of the conversation, they're like, I'm going out right now to buy this book, because he really, really sold it well. Because it's very him. I'm a comic record fan also. So, Scalped, has anybody read Scalped? Do you think that has any social issues in it?
Yeah, it's pretty huge, especially in the United States.
When I first read Scalped, I was just like, I can't read this. This is awful. This is racist. This is terrible. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is real. This is, you know, this is what's happening. And it's just like, you can't really gloss over that. You know, you can't gloss over things like, you know, smallpox blankets. What about immigration? This is another one that I had a little trouble with, was immigration. Yes.
It wasn't a whole issue, but in a recent New Avengers, it was just a couple pages that Black Panther was talking to his ancestors and basically talking about the choices he had to make as a king, that he let people starve outside of his walls for the greater good of his people within the Golden Kingdom. Or the Golden City. So, yeah, I mean, it was just brief.
Yeah, it was brief. But
it was from the
up.
Opposite standpoint of, let people immigrate. It was more like, you can't let everyone come in. There's a balance.
So. Yeah, so it's like, who do you choose to immigrate in? So that's,
I mean, it was just a small portion, but I liked that scene.
Well, it obviously stuck with you because it made you start thinking about it. So that means it was well written. Anybody else? This was really a tough one. Of course, American-born Chinese. And the thing is, I was also trying to mix some of the books that were, like, okay for education. You know, American-born Chinese and both that and March are both, you know, those are on the okay list. You know, they want, you don't want any Superman, people look at you sideways in academia. And I was like, just trust me, it'll work. And so it was that. And then Action Comics 900, that was one where Superman decides that he is going to give up his citizenship. And then we used Skin Horse, which is a really interesting book by Shannon Garrity and Jeffrey Wells. And it's kind of not as well known. It's a little indie book, but it's all about immigration officers and different animals that are immigrating when they have to help them. It's really, really interesting. There's a lot of underlying things in that one also. And then, obviously, American-born Chinese, if anybody hasn't read that, that's an amazing book, period, but for immigration, it is. And I put in Superman Unchained because I read an article that Scott Snyder and Jim Lee put out that said Superman is the, they're writing this as Superman is the ultimate immigrant. And so I thought, and I read the book, but I really didn't see that. And so I thought, I'd gotten Scott to agree to be one of the interviewees. So I said, okay, we'll talk about this. And it made more sense than when I went back and reread it. I could see it more, but it's not something that like really stuck out to me at the beginning. And then Media Government Intervention and Information Privacy. Boy, there's a long list to choose from on that one. But I figured Warren Ellis was a really good choice because pretty much everything he writes could fit into that category. And so Global Frequency and Transmet, Paula Bonaparte, the band is cut off. We also read Daredevil, issues 4 through 6 of the new Mark Waid series. Did anybody read that? It's the one where all of the different groups had gathered information about each other. Yeah, you read it. I see.
Has spoiled there.
Huh?
It's lots of spoil if you try to talk about it.
Yeah, you can't, there are certain things you can't. I'm like, well, you see. Yeah, I know, it's not why it's hard. I'm like, this is why you have to read the books. It's a great, great thing. There's also, I'll get off that. Global Frequency, Nightly News was Jonathan Hickman's first novel that he, or graphic novel that he did, which he wrote and drew, which a lot of people forget. It's amazing, and it's all about newscasters, and so we talked about, you know, what do you think about the news, and right when this was happening, Ferguson was also happening, so it ended up being a really interesting conversation that we had, because we were talking about reporters and how the news gets around and keeping information private, and, you know, Ferguson's come along, and it's kind of turned everything around the other way, where you're like, please, media. So that was interesting. But as you can see, here's 5 topics that you really don't think would be that prevalent in comic books. It's not something you say, I'm going to learn about the environment, I'm going to read a comic book. But yeah, you can. And they're not just in the comic books that are deemed to be educational, and that's what I really wanted to show people. So that's about all I have. We have about 10 minutes left for questions. Does anybody have any questions? Yes,
ma'am. How did you address reading comic or close reading comics, and how did your discussion focus on, like, did you read the art as texturally as you did the writing?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. I always have something on there about how to read comics. I grew up reading comics, so I didn't think about this when I started teaching. I'm just like, here, read this, and they're like, I don't know how to read this comic, and I'm like, but for those of us who read comics, it seems like just second nature. We just do it. But for somebody who's never read a comic, especially I gave them Batwoman Elegy, which, if anybody's read that, it's all over the place. Sometimes I'm just like, whoa. But it's gorgeous. So I have a little slideshow on there that this is how you read a comic. We talked about when you read a comic, you know, however you read it is right. You know, if you read, some people I know read all the text first. Some people look at the pictures first. Some of them read the text and look at the pictures at the same time and move, you know, along. I mean, one of my customers at I also have a comic book store, he will read everything and not look at the art, and then go back and look at the art, and then go back and look at both of them together. And I was like, I don't have that kind of time. I would love to do that, but, you know, who has time to read something three times? You know, that means I could read two more comics. But that's just, it's all how, you know, so we talked about that a little bit, but again, that's kind of like a preference of the person reading it.
I meant more in the term of, like, new criticism, like close reading the art as well as the...
Yeah, and we talked about that a lot, because that's what makes this medium so great, is that I talk about, like, one of my pet peeves is this is a medium where you have to have two storylines. There's two storylines in it that are married to tell one story. So sometimes if the words are saying one thing and the art is showing something else, you know, which one do you go with? So we were talking about how the art style is really, really important. We talked about things like She-Hulk. I love the book, but a lot of people don't like the art style, and it keeps them away from going there. And we also talked about how sometimes the art style will keep you away just because, just like we talked about in the, I motioned here because I sat there for the last panel, for Sexy versus Sexualized panel. You know, sometimes that'll keep people away. There's a book that came out, I can't remember, Revenge, I think it was called. No, it wasn't based off the show.
Like, I was like, the one that just came out that's based off the show. It's everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's not that one. It was one earlier. And in the first page, this guy, like, it shows this guy. I had the bagging board to put it on the shelf at the shop. It had a guy cutting somebody's face off, just the skin. And then the next one, there were, like, all sorts of, you know, naked women. And I was just like, oh, this is great. But as I own the store, I feel like I have to read most of the comics that come in. And the story was really, really great. But the art, the way they decided to present it, kind of, it would put so many people off. So, is that what you meant? No? I still didn't answer.
Just in terms of, like, reading literary texts and reading art texturally in, like, a traditional academic environment, how that works in reading comics?
Oh, it pretty much works the same way, except what we talked about there is that I think you can interpret comics more ways, because the pictures are also telling the story. So people are interpreting those pictures, and they're also interpreting what happens between the panels. There's a great thing in a Scott McCloud where there's this guy running after another guy in this apartment with an axe, you know, and then the next one, it's a shot of just the apartment building in a window, and somebody is yelling, you know, ah! So I'm like, well, what happened in that scene? And some people go, oh, well, you know, the guy, you know, hit the other guy with an axe. I'm like, really? You know, do you know that for sure? And somebody's like, oh, no, they were just playing around, and the other guy tripped, and he, you know, said, ah, or this happened. So there's all sorts of things that, in that little gutter there, that can be interpreted, that if that were in just a prose book, they would have to explain what happened. So we did talk about that a little bit. We didn't talk about as much because that's a whole different class. There's just so much that we could have talked about. But we did talk about that a little bit, about interpretation and how all of the events that lead up to you reading that book are going to invent how you interpret that book and how you interpret that art and how you interpret that, you know, what's written. But it's really the picture that, you know, what's happening in those panels that you're interpreting, you know. Because when it goes from this panel to this panel, we don't know what happens in there. So that's when our mind really engages. And it makes us, you know, we fill in those events that happen between those two panels. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. That was a hard answer.
Yeah, hi. As a huge comic, horror comic nerd, I've noticed that over the years that it would start with addiction and social inequality in terms of the different themes, But now with, you know, the zombies and things like that, I've noticed it's gone more into, you know, government, media, information overload or propaganda. Uh-huh. Have you noticed that, you know, that there are sometimes shifts in other subgenres? As I don't know some of the other genres as well as I'd like.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can see a lot more of current events. And I don't think it's so much more now, because you can see, I mean, like with Steve Englehart, Steve Gerber, and what they
did. Go all the way back to X-Men and stuff like that.
Yeah, so X-Men, like, and even Howard the Duck. it's amazing. I think, you know, the great thing about comics is that what's happening in the world is really seen in the comics, because comics come out, you know, monthly or bi-weekly. That's my problem with the term graphic novel. A graphic novel is something that is written all at once. It was published all at once. Not like Watchmen, which was over a series of months. But a novel, if I'm writing a novel and it's all going to come at once, if I decide I want to go back and change the beginning, I can. But, you know, you can't do that if something's already published. That's a whole other class, too. But I think a lot of it is going to government, and I think that's because of that's the whole idea that's happening right now, is that people are getting very leery of the government, and so that's something that's always on people's minds. I know, you know, I am. You know, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, look what's happening in Ferguson. You know, look what's happening all over the, you know, the country. And there's so many. And I'm not sure if it's now it's happening more. I think it's just now people know about it because of social media and because, you know, we have more ways to communicate now. I think that's it. Like, I was talking to my mom one day, and she said, we used to let you kids go play in this field and blah, 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 and nothing ever happened. And I was like, we just probably didn't hear about what happened because, you know, it wasn't as news-oriented as, you know, we are now. I can't believe she let us do that. But I think it's just that it's more on people's minds right at this moment, and that's why we're seeing a lot more of that.
You can't get away from it. So,
yeah, you really can't. It's on people's minds, and, you know, subconsciously. I read a comic called The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood, and I know it's very Breaking Bad-ish, and so I don't watch Breaking Bad because I know if I do, you know, subconsciously some of that might get into my story, and I don't want that to happen. Time to watch it, so I'll be done with this story soon, so I can binge watch. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
After I took your gender super MOOC, it really changed the way that I look at comics, because generally speaking, being the default, you know, white, you know, racially, although different ethnicity, and a male, it's just the default. And then I realized, oh, wait, people see things differently, and there's gender issues and stuff like that. After you go through these classes, even though you've thought about it, does it change the way you look at comics, and does it deter you from enjoying some where you're like, wait a minute, this person's really ignoring addiction or treating it the wrong way or making it glamorous or something like that?
Yeah, sometimes it does. And you always have to keep in mind, you know, who's the audience for that. I mean, I'm not going to read, you know, a Bob's Burgers and say, well, they didn't, you know, talk about, you know, hunger issues. It's really a comic too. Bob's Burgers does. I enjoyed it. I love that show. But, you know, you have to really keep that in mind. But some of the other things, if they're really making a point about something, and it will keep me from enjoying things. But then on the flip side, it really makes me enjoy things like Alan Moore's writings even more, because you realize how brilliant he was in bringing all of these things to the front without coming out and saying, you know, this is what I'm going to talk about, this is what you're going to learn. He just does this in a way that you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, with him and with Brian K. Vaughan, I always feel smarter when I finish their books, which is not something you can say about a lot of things. But I always feel like I've learned something, even after rereading them a million times. I still feel like, oh my gosh, look how they introduced this and talked about this. And again, there's also the whole idea of intended meaning and the meaning that we put on it. It's something, just like when Denny O'Neill, when he took away Wonder Woman's powers, you know, during the women's movement, his intent for that was to say women don't need superpowers to be awesome and, you know, to fight crime and be the best they can be. But how it was received was, you're taking the powers of the only woman that has superpowers, you know, okay, you're sexist. It was, you know, that was that intent. So there's also that too. So I always try and keep that in mind. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Anything else? If not, then it's about time to end anyway. So thank you so much for coming out. If you have any questions, I'm down stairs and some, I don't even know where I am. I'm downstairs. So thank you very much.